Welcome, everybody, to Monterey Baptist Church's class on Mormonism. It's also known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This class is for us to understand the history and the theology of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for us to share the true gospel with our Mormon neighbors. Most of this class is adapted from Walter Martin's book, The Kingdom of the Cults, 6th edition. Some of this material is also taken from Apologia Studios, and also from Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology. To start, we're going to talk about Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith was the founder of Mormonism. Born in Sharon, Vermont, on December 23rd, 1805, his father, Joseph Smith Sr., was a mystic, a man who spent much of his time digging for imaginary buried treasure. Beside this failing, he sometimes attempted to mint his own money, which brought him into trouble with the law. And former Mormon historian, who was excommunicated by the church, Dr. D. Michael Quinn, wrote in his book, Early Mormonism and the Magic Worldview, and I quote, Joseph Smith unquestionably participated in treasure seeking and seer stone divination, and had apparently also used divining rods, talismans, and implements of ritual magic. His father, one of the 8 eyewitnesses to the divinity of the Book of Mormon, and later the church patriarch, had also participated in divining and the quest for treasure, end quote. Joseph and his father both continued to use divination and peeping stones to dig for treasure, being completely unsuccessful even after he supposedly received his revelation while praying alone in the woods. An interview of his father, published in Historical Magazine in May 1870, along with a book written by Joseph Smith's mother, and the testimony of one Reverend Dr. John A. Clark, after exhausting research, testified to this. The book that his mom wrote is entitled Biographical Sketches of Joseph Smith, the Prophet, and His Progenitor for Many Generations, published in 1853. It was first actually published by the Mormon Church in Liverpool, England, but it was condemned by Brigham Young, who was Joseph Smith's successing prophet. And all of these, the historical magazine, the book written by his mother, and a lot of research done by a reverend, a Christian reverend, testified that they did continue to use these divining rods and things. Additionally, the proceedings of a court hearing dated March 20th, 1826, entitled New York versus Joseph Smith, ruled him guilty of money digging. So peeping stone gazing was illegal in the 1820s, along with using them for money digging. That's a little bit of a background to who he was, who his family was, influences that he had, practices that he was involved in before he got, and a little bit after he got his so-called revelation. Now we're going to discuss how he got his revelation. So in 1820, he claimed a heavenly vision while praying in the woods that he said singled him out as the Lord's anointed prophet for a new dispensation of Scripture. In 1823, he claimed the angel Moroni, the glorified son of a Mormon, the man for whom the famous book of the same is entitled, visited him at his bedside in the night and revealed to him his commission. In 1827, he claimed to have unearthed golden plates in a hill near Palmyra, New York, upon which the Book of Mormon is allegedly to have been written in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, inscribed thereupon by means of the Urim and Thummim, a type of miraculous spectacles which the angel Moroni provided him. In 1827 to 1829, over a two-year period, Smith allegedly translated the plates using his wife's first cousin, Oliver Cowdery, as a scribe. And Joseph sat on one side of the curtain, and on the other side of which Oliver sat, unable and never seeing these plates, and he wrote down what Smith said the plates said. Okay, and this is Joseph's revelation. The Bible and all other churches are corrupt. Now remember this, every cult starts with this. They kind of tip the hat to Christianity, its legitimacy, the Bible and its legitimacy in some way, but then they always say the church or the Bible or Christianity or whatever has been somehow corrupted, and we're here to fix it all. So Joseph's revelation starts with the Bible and all other churches are corrupt. That's a major premise of his revelation. The real people of the promise are a lost tribe that came to the United States. So the Book of Mormon purports to be a history of two ancient civilizations, both of which were on the American continent. One of those civilizations is named the Jaredites. They left the Tower of Babel about 2250 BC and immigrated to the Western Hemisphere. They were destroyed as a result of their apostasy, and their civilization underwent total destruction. The second group was described as righteous Jews. They were led by Lehi and his son Nephi and left Jerusalem around 600 BC before the destruction of the city in the Babylonian captivity of Israel. They crossed the Pacific Ocean, landing on the west coast of South America. They eventually met a fate similar to the Jaredites and were divided into two warring camps, the Nephites and the Lamanites. Jesus visited the American continent, revealed himself to the Nephites, preached the gospel to them, and instituted both baptism and communion. And that's a short summary of what Joseph's revelation was. So remember, everything's corrupt. We have to now trust in Joseph Smith and his revelation, the Book of Mormon and their holy texts, to know what the Bible truly means and says, and to know the true history of God and his people. Next are their holy texts, and they're referred to as the four standard works. Now, first is the King James Bible, the KJV Bible. They consider that one of their holy texts, as far as it's been translated correctly. Second, the Book of Mormon. So the first version of the Book of Mormon was printed in 1830. It's supposedly a condensation of the high points of the above civilizations. The author was a prophet named Mormon. The purpose of the Book of Mormon is to witness to the world of the truth of Jesus. And it claims that the Mormon church, or Joseph Smith's coming, is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy of a new covenant, and that it's predicted by the Old Testament. It's the Mormons claim that it is an additional revelation of Christ and the covenants God made with their forefathers. As an example, they claim that the Book of Mormon is the sealed book of Isaiah 29:11 and a fulfillment of Jeremiah 31:34, just among a few scriptural citations. They also have what's called the Doctrine and Covenants, the Doctrines and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. And the Pearl of Great Price records Joseph's revelation. The Mormons believe that the King James Version, the KJV Bible, is part of God's Word, as we touched on before. But remember, it's only part of God's Word as so far it is translated correctly. And what they'll say is, its correct translation has been lost, and now we have to rely on the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, the Doctrines and Covenants, to know what God really wants us to know the true gospel. Next, we're looking at church organization. We're Southern Baptists. We are local churches that cooperate with one another. We kind of understand where we stand. But their church organization is very different. At the top is the First Presidency. And it's presently composed of a 99-year-old prophet named Russell M. Nelson, and two counselors. He is recognized as a prophet, a seer, and a revelator, meaning he can reveal new things from God because he's a prophet. But before we jump to any conclusions about their beliefs or their willingness to, or maybe their gullibility to believe in this theology, this idea that there's a constantly a prophet that can reveal new things, we need to recognize that Mormons are very smart people. We ought not to mock. We ought not to look down on them. for their beliefs. I mean, other people look down on us for our beliefs. We're here because we want to evangelize Mormons to know the true Jesus Christ and be saved. But the Mormons, they value higher education. And just as an example, so we don't think that we're dealing with silly people, the Mormons are they're very respectable people. I've worked with Mormons in the military and other places, and I really got along with them well. I enjoyed our conversations. I love to talk to Mormons. I would consider some of them my friends. And as an example, Nelson, their current prophet, he's a retired medical doctor. He's a PhD. He has a PhD from the University of Minnesota. He's a member of the research team that developed the heart-lung machine that in 1951 supported the first open-heart surgery using cardiopulmonary bypass. He served in the U.S. Army Medical Corps during the Korean War as a captain. He held a professorship at the University of Utah School of Medicine. He worked for 29 years in the field of cardiothoracic surgery. He's the president of the Society for Vascular Surgery and the Utah Medical Association. So he's a highly achieved, highly educated man. Now, I'll admit I don't have definitions for the next bodies of their church organization. I'm just going to tell you what they are. So the First Presidency is assisted by a Council of 12 Apostles. In the Council of 12 Apostles, there is the First Quorum of the 70, the Second Quorum of the 70, and its presidency, a presiding bishopric, and the Patriarch of the Church. That's all organized somehow in the Council of 12 Apostles. And their churches, or whatever they call them, I think they would call them churches, they're split into territories. Church administration is divided into territories made up of wards and stakes. A ward is 150 to 500 members, and a stake is 5 to 10 wards.